New Testament tonight for our scripture reading, and to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. We want to speak tonight on the subject of sin's only sacrifice, or the only sacrifice for sin. And we'll read the first 14 verses of this chapter together, Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things which can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. May God be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. It is the familiar words of verse number 12 that we want to consider tonight as we come to this message in the gospel. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer and ask for his help and for his presence as we come now to his word. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us already tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the praise that has been offered to thee. We pray, Lord, that this night as we come to thy word, we pray, Lord, that thy word will take a dealing with all of our hearts. Lord, as we come to consider all that these scriptures would contain and all that these scriptures would teach and tell us, we pray, Lord, that this night that you'll make thy word live in all of our hearts. Lord, we thank thee tonight for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that he made that one sacrifice for sin forever. And our Father, we pray that as we would consider that old story, yet, Lord, we pray that this night you'd make it ever new, make it fresh to our hearts, we pray. To every child of God, we pray that our hearts would be lifted heavenward, Lord, that we might see our Savior and consider all that he has done for us and all that we are because of him. We pray, Lord, for the unconverted. We pray, Lord, that this night that their eyes might be opened to behold the beauty and the loveliness of Christ. Lord, to behold the love of God, that God commendeth his love toward them, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, Lord, we pray that tonight you'll bring the lost to the cross. We pray, Lord, that this night the burden of sin might be rolled away. We pray, Lord, that this night a work will be done in every heart that will last for time, all eternity. So answer prayer, give us help now in the preaching, the meditation of thy word. And Lord, we pray that you'll help each one as we would hear, as we would listen. May this truly be the word of God to all of our hearts tonight. So bless us, work on and work through us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. In many ways, Hebrews chapter 10 is a key chapter in this entire book. It was written, of course, to the Hebrew believers. Remember that Paul is writing here, and we believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews. But he is writing to those who have been saved out of Judaism. Those who have been saved out of the ceremonies. Those who have been saved out of the rituals. And they have been brought into the liberty of the gospel. He was writing to those who were redeemed by the blood of Christ. He was writing to those who had turned their backs on the rituals and the ceremonies of the temple because they saw that no temple sacrifice could ever save them from sin. No sacrifice of animals could ever purge their soul from sin. He's writing here to people who were enlightened by the gospel. These were people whose eyes the Lord had opened to see that salvation was not to be found in a church or not to be found in a creed or not to be found in a ceremony, but that salvation was to be found alone in Jesus Christ. However, it is very clear as you read through this book of Hebrews that these same Hebrew people who were saved out of the rituals of the temple were now coming under great persecution, and they were under great trial for their faith. You see, they were being laughed at, they were being derided, that their faith was only a sham. They didn't have all the trappings of the ceremonial religion. They didn't have all the priests to administer the sacraments to them. There was no pomp. There was no ceremony to their faith, something which the Jews placed so much emphasis upon. They were accused of having no priest. One who, of course, was so vital to the entire system of religion. And yet Paul, in this wonderful book, Paul, in this most insightful book, points and reminds the people of God that we have a great high priest. We have a priest who is greater than man. We have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the opening chapters of this book, he has been reminding the people how that Christ is superior to the law, how that Christ is superior to the Moses, and Christ is superior to angels, and all of those things that the Jews place so much emphasis upon. Paul is writing here to these people and reminding them that they have one. Their faith, their trust is in one who is greater than all the trappings of ceremony. And so he writes to them to comfort their hearts and to encourage them. They have a great high priest who is far more superior and greater than any earthly priest. And that is particularly evident here in this 10th chapter. Because here in Hebrews chapter 10, here Paul brings us right to the very heart of the gospel. Here Paul brings us and deals here with the atoning work of Christ on the cross. In fact, right in the middle section of this chapter, Paul really sums up all his teaching. Paul sums up all that he has been instructing the people to date. And he makes this fundamental. And he makes this underpinning statement there in verse number 12. But this man. Remember what he has been saying all right up until this part about Christ being superior to all of those things and all of those people that the Jews held in such respect. Paul here says, but this man, speaking as we see of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This is a very precious verse. This is a verse on which stands our entire salvation. This is a verse in which all of our witness and all of our preaching is based. The entire gospel message is based on this verse because it brings before us the only sacrifice for sin. It brings before us the only way that sin can be atoned for, the only way that sin can be washed and cleansed. This is a fundamental and this is a monumental verse. And I know it's a verse that we know so well, a verse I'm sure we could quote so often. Yet there are truths in this verse which we do well to remember, because on this verse stands our entire salvation. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So we want to look at this verse and some of the verses before and after as we consider the subject before us tonight of sins only sacrifice. There are some things we want to see here about the sacrifice as we have it in these verses here in Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to see first of all with me here the will of the Father. In verse number 7, it says there, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Then in verse number 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And verse 10 again, "By the which will we are sanctified." This truth is repeated three times in those short number of verses. And it all brings before us the will of the Father in the whole scheme and in the whole plan of redemption. This is the Father's will. Sin's only sacrifice was willed by the Father. The only way that sin could be atoned for and sin could be cleansed was willed by God the Father. Now that's a mystery, folks, that we will never really be able to understand. Why God the Father, the one who had been sinned against, the one who had experienced great offense when man rose up in rebellion to reject his law and to reject his way, why God should choose, why God should ordain a plan of salvation, as we noticed some weeks back, from before the foundation of this world, why that was in the will of the Father is a mystery that we will never be able to fully explain or understand. But thank God tonight, sin's only sacrifice through Christ was the will of the Father. It was not the invention of man. It was not man's idea as to how sin would be sacrificed. In fact, if it was of man, Calvary would never have entered into it. If it was left to man, it would have been all about the ceremony and all about the pomp and all about the rituals. It would have had nothing to do with the suffering of Christ. It would have had nothing to do with the pain and agony that the Son of God had to endure. It is the will of God. The whole scheme of redemption was willed by the Father. Thank God for it. Why God should set his love upon sinful man is something we'll never be able to fully grasp or understand. The way of the cross was the will of God. And we say tonight with Wesley, "'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. Who can explain his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. God's mercy and God's grace, God's goodness in willing a plan of redemption is a divine mystery, but thank God tonight it is a definite reality. Praise God tonight that in this world of hopelessness, in this world of chaos, God planned a way to redeem sinners like you and I to himself. sinner in this meeting tonight without Christ, can I say that you would be totally hopeless and helpless? If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be totally void of hope, as I would be if it were not for the fact that God willed the plan of redemption. This world rises up day and daily to reject the law of God. This old world rises up to reject the standards of the Word of God and to reject the character and the goodness of God. But never forget that God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. The mystery of God's will. Then there is the accomplishment of God's will. Notice how the will of the Father was accomplished, how it was brought about. And in verse number 5, we read at the very end there about a body being prepared for Christ. And in that verse, at the very end of that verse, we are brought before us here the incarnation of Christ. I know the incarnation of Christ is something that we place great emphasis upon, especially at the end of each year, as we remember the Lord's coming into this world. But you know, the incarnation of Christ, Christ coming in human form, is not something to be celebrated just once a year. It's something to be celebrated and thanked for every day of the year. Why Christ, why God in human flesh should come, become man, and take our humanity into union with his perfect deity, brings us all to Bethlehem. Thank God tonight that he left the splendors of heaven. Thank God tonight that he left all the glory of that celestial city behind and he came into this old world of sin. It brings us to the humanity of Christ. How that it was necessary, it was needful that Christ would become man. You know, and sometimes, and we're all guilty of it, especially around Christmas time, we can get all so caught up in the trappings and all think about the little babe in the manger. But all of that was all part of God's plan of redemption. God had to become man. God had to take human nature in order to redeem us, in order to suffer in human flesh, in order to come under the law of God, that we might be saved from the law of God. These are all vital elements in the whole scheme of redemption, all part of the Father's will, that a sacrifice for sin might be made. And a sacrifice, you see, is essential for sin to be covered. Sinner, for you to be saved, for you to be right with God, there had to be a sacrifice for sin. There are those today who will tell us that Calvary was one way. Calvary was the way that it so panned out to be. But that there could have been another way, that God could have redeemed this world back to himself. Folks, I don't believe that for one second. Calvary was the only way. There had to be a sacrifice. That's why all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, that's what they were all pointing to. They were not just ordained and set up by God for some man to take importance to himself. All those sacrifices in the temple, they all pointed to and they all spoke of the great sacrifice that Christ would make for sin. There always had to be a sacrifice for sin. And that sacrifice, as we'll come on to see, was in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The sacrifices of the old law did not remove sin. Look what it says there in verse number 6. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. No delight in the sacrifices of animals. Yet as we said, they all pointed to that once for all sacrifice. And no, there's something that we need to point out here very clearly. Christ did not come into this world to become a Levitical priest and to continue on the sacrifices of animals in the temple. Christ did not come into this world to continue on what the old priests had been doing for all of those years. Christ came into this world to make all those old priests redundant in order to make one sacrifice for sin forever. Thank God tonight all the priests of Rome are redundant because Christ came to offer one sacrifice for sin forever. And they will make a mockery of Calvary every time they offer the Mass, every time they offer the wafer, and they believe that they're sacrificing the body and blood of Jesus Christ. No, not at all. Christ made one sacrifice for sin forever. Thank God tonight he came to be the sacrifice. But it was all the will of the Father. Sin's only sacrifice. It was willed by the Father. But now we want to come and look now at not only the will of the Father, but also the work of the Son. Because as we come into verse number 11, we see, and verse number 12, we see this all the clearer. How all this worked out. How it all was enacted and carried out. Paul opens these few verses from verse number 11 by contrasting the work of the old priests with the work of the Son, our great high priest. Note what he says there in verse 11. He says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. You get a bit of repetition there. Just going through the rituals, just going through the motions. Did you ever see? Well, I hope you never saw in person. But did you ever see those old priests, even in the Anglican Church, just going through the motions, offering sacrifice after sacrifice, swinging things round their heads with smoke coming out, thing after thing. It's all ritual. It's got nothing to do with the sacrifice of Christ. This man, after he made one sacrifice. You see, those old priests, they were standing because their work was never done. Their work was never complete. You know, there was one item of furniture that was missing in the temple, in the tabernacle. There were no seats in the tabernacle. There were no chairs provided in the temple worship because they could never sit down. The priests could never sit down because of the continual activity that they were involved in. It never ceased. Their ministry was ongoing, it was repetitive, and they offered the same sacrifices. The animal sacrifices offered again and again. They never sat down. No seat in the temple. And remember, of course, that all of that was designed by the Lord. The layout, the furniture of all the temple, it was ordained and planned by the Lord. And the Lord made sure and planned that there would be no seat in case it would be construed that by those priests sitting down that their work was satisfied and that their work was enough. Their work was never enough. And then as we come into verse 12, we see the unfinished work of the old priests set against the backdrop of the finished work of Christ. Notice how emphatic the language is there in verse 12. But this man. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, is referring back to the end of verse number 10, the body of Jesus Christ. This is the man that he's referring to. There's the dual nature of Christ brought out again, his humanity and his deity in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit leaves the people in no doubt here. Paul, writing to these Hebrew believers, leaves them in no doubt as to who the source of sin's only sacrifice is. The Holy Spirit does not cause confusion, but rather he clarifies the whole issue. Only sacrifice that was acceptable and that was ever acceptable to God was the sacrifice of Christ. It's always been the case, will always be the case. He tells the people that the Father had no pleasure in the sacrifice of the Old Testament priests, but he does have pleasure. He does have satisfaction in the sacrifice of his only Son. He speaks in the highest form and with the highest regard for the work of his Son, offered one sacrifice. That, of course, brings us to Calvary. Christ on Calvary was our great high priest, offering himself a sacrifice, pleading our cause before the Father on his merits. And as a result of the satisfaction that the sacrifice of Christ had before God, notice the result, the Son sat down. The old priests never sat down. They did, they were in bother, and Eli, of course, is an example of that. Christ sat down. Why? Not because he was tired, but because his work was finished. Thank God tonight our great high priest is seated in the heavenlies. Thank God tonight our great high priest is not on the cross, he's not in the tomb, but he is in heaven tonight, our priest and a prince and a ruler and a king forevermore. He sat down because his work is finished. Why do we place such an emphasis on a Christ-centered ministry? Why do we place Christ at the center of all that we seek to do? Because without Christ and without the sacrifice and the work of the Son, there could be no salvation. Notice also the emphasis on the work of Christ in verse 12. One sacrifice. And that one sacrifice was forever. I'm tempted again to blast Rome. I don't think we'll ever be fed up blasting Rome. One sacrifice forever. It needs never to be repeated. Christ made one sacrifice, and that sacrifice was ongoing and would be perpetual, because that was the only sacrifice that satisfied a holy God. Christ died once. His death was once and for all, because it has a perpetual value. Thank God tonight the blood of Jesus Christ has lost none of its power. The blood of Christ did not run down the cross that day at Calvary and go into the ground and rot and decay. Thank God tonight the blood of Christ, I believe the blood of Christ is in heaven because Christ is in heaven. And he carried his own blood in his own veins back to heaven. And that blood has a perpetual value because it's still the only sacrifice for sin. We him ask the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sinner, tonight in this meeting, what can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice of Christ and the cross of Calvary, the work of the Son and dying for sin, making atonement for sin, was a one-off. It does not, will not ever be repeated. The message of the cross will never go out of date. Yes, it may go out of fashion, and people may not want to hear it, but the message itself will never go out of date. It's the old story, thank God, yet ever new. Sinner, tonight you need no invention. You need no new idea. Tonight you still only need Christ. Because only Christ can save your soul. Only Christ can cleanse your heart from sin. No other way but Calvary. You need to get to Christ tonight. He is the only sacrifice for sin that's acceptable before God. There's the will of the Father, the work of the Son. But as we close tonight, notice in verse number 15 then, the witness of the Spirit. You see how the triune God here is at work in the whole scheme of redemption? The Father wills, the Son fulfills, and now the Spirit infills, because in verse 15 it says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Here is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God taking the work of redemption and applying it to the heart of the believing sinner. The Spirit of God who is a witness to the saving power of the gospel in the life of the repentant sinner. The Holy Spirit quickens the sinner. The Holy Spirit implants the new life in the sinner. The Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ, the work of redemption, to the sinner who by faith receives Jesus Christ. Notice what the Spirit does there in verse 16. The end, halfway through the verse, it says, he says, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. You see, whenever the Spirit applies the work of redemption, there's a change. Whenever the Holy Spirit of God applies the work of the Son that was accomplished on the cross, there's a change. He puts righteousness within us. He puts Christ within us, removes the old nature, and gives the new life. He applies with force and with power. He makes a change. Notice that change further there in verse 17. I want you to notice this, dear child of God. You're struggling with assurance and you're struggling with concerns, and the old devil's having a field day in your life. I want you to see this verse. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God the sins that are under the blood are under the blood and will never be brought up before us before God. All the sins that are under the blood of Christ tonight have been removed so far from us, even as the east is from the west. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. They're behind his back. That's the glorious effect of the gospel tonight. The only sacrifice for sin, which is Christ. Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, the barrier to God being removed. No more remembrance of sins. You know, whenever we stand, dear child of God, before the Lord on the day of judgment, thank God we will stand redeemed, accepted before God, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into thy rest. But for those who stand before God on that day of judgment still in their sin, with no covering, no cleansing, still out of Christ, that day your sins will rise up to condemn you, and your sins will rise up to damn your soul in hell. Why are sinners lost? Because of their own sin. Why are sinners in hell tonight? Because of their own sin. Verse 17 brings before us a peace and a joy, because there is no greater peace in this world than to have peace with God. This world tonight is running crazy. This world tonight is going mad, searching for peace, and leaders and nations are seeking to build peace with this person and that person and all sorts of organizations, and yet they run from the Prince of Peace, Christ Himself. Is that you tonight? Searching for peace. You're not happy tonight. I know that. Because your life is not satisfied if you haven't got Christ, and you're trying everything to find peace. Here's the only source of peace, sin's only sacrifice, which is Christ. The only way that your sins and your iniquities will not be remembered anymore against you is by putting your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, and the Spirit applying the work of redemption to your heart. Greatest thing you could have, the greatest knowledge you could have tonight is the knowledge of sins forgiven. Peace with God. It's still only the only grounds for peace. It's still only on the grounds of redemption. The only way your sins can be forgiven, it's still through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, as we close tonight, bears out the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice there. Now where remission of these is, there is no more. No more offering for sin. Why is there no more offering for sin? Why does Calvary not have to be repeated? Because Christ made an offering that satisfied God. Christ made an offering that removed sin for all those who will receive by faith Jesus Christ. And there is therefore no more offering. Christ's offering was the only sacrifice. His was the sufficient sacrifice. Nothing more is required. Why would you add to the Word of God? Why would you seek to add to salvation tonight, when all that has been accomplished to save your soul from sin has been accomplished through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? This man, after he made one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Today, there is peace with God through the blood of the cross. Have you that experience tonight? Have you the experience of sins forgiven? May I ask you tonight, are you at peace with God? Have you made your peace with God? This night, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or are you still searching? Well, then this night, remember that the only sacrifice for sin that will bring peace with God is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. No other sacrifice. No other way. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to thy cross we cling. Christ's sacrifice at the cross of Calvary was once for all, it was forever. It was the will of the Father. It involved the work of the Son that brings us to Calvary. And then the witness of the Spirit. I pray that this night, if you're still out of Christ, that the Spirit of God would so open your heart, and that this night you would receive by faith Christ's sacrifice and that the work of Christ would be applied to your heart by faith, and that through it you would experience peace with God, and flowing then from that, the peace of God. If you're still out of Christ tonight, then this night you need to get to Calvary. There is no other place. There is no other way your sins can be forgiven. You need to get to the cross. May God help you so to get there tonight. Child of God, praise God, our salvation is not depending on what we are or who we are. Our salvation is depending on all that Christ has done. And tonight there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down. Thank God tonight our great high priest is in glory. We have one tonight who ever lives to make intercession for us. We have one tonight who will bring us home safely to glory. And if you don't know him as your Savior, then I pray that this night you would come and receive Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life.